make that happen. But yeah, it's good to be in church with you guys this morning. Being that it is summer, we are starting a new summer sermon series looking at the spiritual disciplines. We're going to be looking at those each week over the summer. But this morning, I'm going to be just introducing it. So just looking at kind of what they are in general, and then each week as we go forward, we'll look at each one specifically. So first off, disciplines can be defined in the dictionary as the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior. And sometimes that training is done by us. Sometimes we train ourselves to follow certain things. Sometimes the training is done to us. Parents, you know what I'm talking about with your kids. That's the training that you give them. And then sometimes it happens to you and you don't even know it. Sometimes you're being trained and you don't even realize it. There was this scientist years and years ago named Pavlov, and he did this thing with dogs where whenever it was time for them to eat, he would ring a bell. So, and dogs, when they see food and they know that food's coming, they like salivate. They're really excited, right? So he would ring, food would come, ring the bell, food would come. And he did that over and over and over again. And it got to the point by now that the dogs, just the association of the bell with food, if you rang the bell, they would salivate because they were trained to do so. So over and over again, this the ringing of the bell, association with food, the dogs would begin to hear it and then they'd think that food was coming, and so they'd salivate. And you might think to yourselves, oh, but that's a dog. That's like, that's not us. Like, that wouldn't happen to us. Well, I want to play you a sound. Tawny, if you want to play that sound, and I want you to think about what the first thing that comes to your mind, if you play that, if you hear the sound. The ice cream truck. Last night, no joke, we were in my house and in our complex. That's good. You can shut it off now, Tawny. Thank you. We were in my house and my wife and I were sitting down, and in our complex, we hear the ice cream truck. And my wife is like, Christian, ice cream. I want ice cream. We should go get ice cream. And so all of us are the same way. You can think, oh, the dogs, the bell, that's silly. But when we hear that song, how many of you now want to go home and have ice cream? Right? We can be trained sometimes without even realizing it. We can be trained to think or act certain ways on purpose or by accident. But disciplines, though, are good for us. Ice cream isn't really good for us, but disciplines are good for us. Spiritual disciplines are meant to train us to look more like Jesus. They are practices that promote spiritual growth. So there are things that are put in place in our lives designed to help us look more like Jesus. And so there's 12 of them that we're going to look at this summer, and they can be divided into three different like headings. And so the first heading is inward disciplines. So that would be meditation, prayer, fasting, and study. Those are the inward disciplines. There's also the outward disciplines. This is things that we do like to or for others. This is simplicity, solitude, submission, or service. And then there's the corporate disciplines, which is worship, confession, guidance, and celebration. So each week this summer, we're going to look at one of those more in depth. But this morning, like I said, I'm just introducing it. So we're going to look at just as a broad, as a whole, what disciplines are. So discipline is mentioned in the Bible. So there's a verse in Hebrews 12, verse 11, that says this. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So in the moment, discipline seems bad. It's not good, but later we see the results. There's another verse in Proverbs 12, verse 1, that says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. So he who doesn't want to be disciplined, he who wants to do his own thing and not listen to anyone else, the Bible says is stupid. I was kind of convinced, confused here, because I thought, like, stupid, I was kind of taught it was a bad word, but then it's like, well, it's in the Bible. So I wish I would have known that as a kid. I could say, Mom, like, it's in the Bible. I can say it. But he who doesn't like being corrected, he who thinks they know everything, the Bible says is not wise. You could say it in a nice way. But the scriptures themselves don't actually mention the idea of spiritual disciplines. Discipline is mentioned in the Bible, but the idea of spiritual disciplines, if you're looking for like a chapter in the Bible, like, oh, I want to look for where they are specifically in a passage, you're not going to find it like that. But rather, spiritual disciplines are ideas that have been pulled from different passages of the Bible to make this list. So while necessarily the spiritual disciplines don't come from a certain chapter, they are principles and ideas that have been pulled from this, and that we know that discipline is good, and so these are things that we can say are good for us to grow our faith. And each one of them has scripture to back it up. And I could go through each one right now and give you some scripture, but I think I'll leave that to the coming weeks. But disciplines are basically good habits. Disciplines are basically things you're trying to develop and create good habits. When I would play sports, my coaches would always say, like, develop good habits. Develop good habits. Do things that are good habits that when you're tired or when you're not thinking, you're automatically just going to do. It's hard to develop sometimes. Have you noticed that good habits are very, very hard to develop, but you can develop bad habits so easily. Bad habits are so easy to develop because they're easy. They're convenient. Anyone have bad habits? No one else. I do. I have lots of bad habits. If you really want to know all of them, you could talk to my wife, but hopefully she wouldn't say all of them. But one of my bad habits is I bite my nails. I'm a nail biter. I've tried to stop, but then I just said, you know what? It's who I am. But I bite my nails. When I was a kid, one of my bad habits that drove my mom absolutely nuts was I would make food, and then I would leave the dishes everywhere, everywhere. I'd be in the basement, and there'd be piles of dishes, and then come time for dinner, we'd have no cups. Mom would say, where are the cups? I'm like, are there some downstairs, Christian? I don't know. We go downstairs, there's like 30 cups down there, like every cup that we have. Drive my mom absolutely nuts. Another habit I have that I don't know if it's bad, some might say it's bad, is whenever I'm hungry, I want to eat pizza. It's a habit that I have. But we all have bad habits. It is important to know when we're looking at disciplines, though, is that disciplines are things that you do that are not character qualities. Disciplines are things that we work at, don't come naturally, not things that we're born with, but things that we put effort and work into developing. Otherwise, it's not a discipline. If it's natural and it's easy and it just came without even thinking, it's not really a discipline. We have to develop it. But it is also important to realize why we do them. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But the idea of spiritual disciplines might seem like an outdated old thing. It might seem like spiritual disciplines. Like, why are we talking about that? That seems like it's, you know, kind of old or outdated. But actually, the idea of spiritual disciplines is actually derived from the gospel. It's derived from things that Jesus says. It's not divorced from it. It comes from the things that Jesus says, comes from the New Testament and the Old Testament. And they're super important for us today. They are the means, but they are not the end. And like I said, disciplines are normally hard for you to do, and that's why they're called disciplines. In our culture, when I hear disciplines, I think of, I got in trouble with my parents, honestly. That's what my first thing that comes to my mind. When I hear, like, discipline, I think, oh no, I'm in trouble, I was going to be grounded or whatever. But with spiritual disciplines, there's not an actual, like, punishment from it. There's not like a, hey, if you don't do this, you're going to be grounded or whatever. The punishment, I guess you could say, is that it's just a lack of depth in our relationship with Jesus. The result of us not doing these things, the result of us not trying to pursue these things, can be a lack of depth in our relationship with Jesus. But these are things that we don't always feel like doing. There's sometimes we don't feel like praying. There's sometimes we don't feel like fasting. There's sometimes we don't feel like studying or worshiping or serving or things like that. There's always going to be times we don't feel like doing it. And I'm going to be honest. Most things that are good for me, I don't always feel like doing. When I was in school and I would have homework and I knew that I had to do this homework or I'd get bad marks, I never felt like doing homework. When I had a test coming up that I needed to study for in order to get good marks, I never felt like studying. I never go to school thinking, please, would you give me more homework and more tests coming up so I have something to do tonight? So never. And if anyone thinks that, then you are very, very into school, and that's great, but that was not me. That was not me. When I would start a new job and I was on the lowest end of the totem pole, I didn't feel like showing up early. I didn't feel like having those worst jobs. When I did construction and I was the lowest on the totem pole, I didn't feel like carrying cement bags all day. But I did it because I had to. I knew that if I wanted to go further, I had to do these things. If Elise, my wife, asks me, hey, do you want to go run on the treadmill at the gym? I do not. I do not feel like. Hey, Christian, do you feel like going to the gym? No. That's a safe answer to always be no. And some people like the gym, and some people like seeing results and all that sort of thing, and that's fine. Some people like running outside. There was a time that I was really into running outside and that sort of thing. But the treadmill is just a different animal altogether. No one likes a treadmill. If someone tells me after that they like the treadmill, you're lying or there's something wrong. Treadmill is terrible, terrible. I never feel like doing the treadmill. But sometimes I will because I feel guilty because Elise asked me. So, okay, I'll go. How long are we going to stay? Okay. But most things that are good for us, we don't necessarily feel like doing. So this summer, we're going to look at each one of these disciplines, what they are, why they're important, and how we can apply them to our lives. And hopefully, at the end of this summer, every single one of us will look a little bit more like Jesus because we've applied a little few of them to our lives. So why spiritual disciplines? There's a verse in 1 Timothy, I think, that sums it up pretty good. It's 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. It says this: have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. That last bit is the most important part. Train yourself for godliness. Discipline yourself for godliness. The whole point of the spiritual disciplines is godliness. It's to look more like Jesus. And how we do that is by allowing the power of the Holy Spirit in us manifest itself through these disciplines. We can't just do it on our own. We can't just do it on our own strength. There was a group of people years and years and years ago who tried to do it themselves. They knew all the rules, they knew all the laws, they knew all the ideas of disciplines, and they would follow them all to a letter, and they would do all these things, but they thought it was all about themselves. And it would be a point of pride with them. They would think, I'm following all of these, I'm so good. They're called the Pharisees. And we need to be careful that we're not doing that same thing, that we're not following these disciplines so we can check it off on our list rather than remembering why we're doing them in the first place. That's what the Pharisees did. They were so-called religious, but they had missed the entire point of why they were doing these things in the first place. And we need to be careful not to do that. We need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to achieve these things. And we need to do these things with the proper motivation. Because the goal has to be to look more like Jesus. It can't be so that we look good. It can't be, I want to be disciplined so that people think, man, this person is a good Christian. We can't think, oh, I want to serve in this way because I want people to think that I'm great. It can't be, oh, I want to pray when people are watching so that I look like this super spiritual person. The goal has to be godliness. Like I said earlier, in today's society, it can be really easy to look at these things as legalistic. It's super easy to look at these disciplines and say, oh, well, that's kind of super legalistic. That's making it tasks. That's making our faith based on tasks and actions as opposed to what Jesus did. And that's not the point. The idea behind spiritual disciplines is it helps simplify our faith. It helps simplify our faith. Because if we're honest, or if I'm honest, there's been times in my life where I can get discouraged because I think to myself, I want to grow. I want to look more like Jesus. I want to get stronger in my faith, but I don't always know how. So the idea of these disciplines is it gives you kind of like a manual. Hey, you want to grow? Here's some ways how you can grow. Makes it simple for us. It's like if you go to the gym and you see for the first time, you see all these different machines. Like, I have no idea what these machines do. And then you start working on them and you think you're doing good, then someone else comes and does it a completely different way, and then you're like, I hope no one was watching me do that. It simplifies it for us. That's why if you go to the gym, they have those like pictures of, oh, so that's how you do it. Okay, that's good. The idea behind these disciplines is to simplify our faith so that we know how to grow. Give us a guideline of how we can strengthen our faith. But at the same time, we need to be careful that we don't get so focused on developing the disciplines that we forget why we wanted the disciplines in the first place. That's what the Pharisees did. They were so focused on developing these disciplines, they were so focused on learning and all that kind of stuff that they forgot why they were doing it in the first place. Godliness is the goal, not perfecting each discipline. We don't pray so we get better at prayer. We don't worship so we get better at worship. We don't fast so that we can build up our tolerance and fast more. We do those things because we want to look more like Jesus. We do those things because we believe that this is the way that we can grow in our faith. This is the way that we can look more like Jesus. If an athlete is training for anything, for a big race, maybe there is a new season in their respective sport and they're training and they're training and they're training, the athlete never forgets why they're training. The motivation is always there. They want to win. If it's a hockey player, they're training in the offseason because they want to win the Stanley Cup. So they're training and they're training and they're training. But if an athlete forgets why they're training and they just fall in love with the idea of working out and all that kind of stuff, their whole focus, their whole mindset is going to shift and it's not going to be as beneficial for them. We need to stay focused on why we're doing these things in the first place. And the idea of disciplines must revolve around a central theme of love. It's our love for Jesus that makes us want to do these things. Our love for Jesus makes us want to be disciplined to look more like him. Love for God has to be the pivot point for all that we do. Has to be. Our love for Jesus has to be the lens that we see everything in our life through. Because when we love Jesus, the idea of sacrificing, of being disciplined, doesn't seem as bad. When you're a kid, you don't really realize it. When your parents discipline you, when your parents get you in trouble or they do things that you don't understand or don't like, you don't understand it. But when you get older, you realize, wow, like they loved me, so they were trying to do this, trying to train me in a way to keep me safe or keep me healthy or whatever. That's what Jesus is doing. He gives us these disciplines so that we can look at them and say, hey, this is how we look more like him. This is for our benefit. So when you love someone, when we love Jesus, we're okay to sacrifice because we know he's doing it with our best interest at heart. An example of this would be when I would go home over Christmas break. So I went to school out in Abbotsford, but I'm from Ontario, so I would go home every Christmas and I like to play video games with my brother. That's kind of one of our things that we would do to bond. We'd play this game called Madden. It was a football game on our video on our PlayStation. And so we'd play game after game after game. And now my dad does not like video games. He also doesn't like football. But he would come down at like midnight and he would sit with us and watch us play this Madden video game till like 1:30 in the morning. Not because he liked Madden. Not because he liked video games, not because he wanted to stay up super late for no reason. He did it because he wanted to spend time with us. So he was okay to sacrifice things that he didn't like as long as he was with us. And I would ask him, I'd say, Dad, like, why? Like, you can go to sleep. Like, he's like falling asleep. He's trying to stay awake. He's like, no, I'm good. I'm like, Dad, like, you're almost asleep in the couch. Like, what? He's like, I just like spending time with you. Doesn't matter how, doesn't matter why. That's a sacrifice. Or my mom. Growing up, I had one older brother, then my dad and my mom. So three boys in the house to one girl. And so, So if you're the only woman in your house, you know that sometimes when it comes to movie choices, or all the time when it comes to movie choices, you don't get your way. That was my mom. She sat through action movie after action movie after action movie after action movie after thriller, after sports movie, after all these things that she would never choose to watch on her own. Never, ever. But she would do it because she wanted to spend time with the family. So she would sit through this movie. She would sit through James Bond or whatever. Movies that she doesn't care about. And then she'd always get confused because she wasn't actually paying attention. So, wait, who's that? I'd say, Mom, that's like the main bad guy. When did he come in? Like the first 2 minutes of the movie. Like... But she would sit through it because she wanted to spend time with us. And as we got older, she would sometimes say, well, can't we just pick a movie that I would like? We'd say, well, depends on the movie. But she would do it because she loved us. It wasn't her way or the highway. It wasn't, well, if we don't watch this movie, then I'm not watching. She would watch it. Sometimes we'd hear about it, but most times she was good about it because she just wanted to spend time with us. So my dad and my brother and I would go to the movie store, back when they used to have movie stores, and we'd pick a movie. Mom come home. So what did you get? I'm like, oh, we got this one. Great. Looking forward to it. But when you love someone, you sacrifice. You're okay to be disciplined. Our desire for spiritual disciplines must come out of love. Has to be the pivot point for all that we do. Has to be the lens that of everything that we do, we see it through the eyes of Jesus. It can't become a checklist. The idea of disciplines can't become this thing that we wake up, okay, I got to do this today, got to do this today, yep, that's done, that's done, that's done, that's done, now I'm good. I can do whatever I want. That was why I would go to the gym. Whenever I go to the gym, I'd be like, now I can eat whatever I want today. I went for a run, pizza, burgers, I'm good. I can do whatever I want. It can't just be a checklist, but rather a guideline that we use to look more like Jesus, to lead us to godliness. And the danger, honestly, can be that this makes our faith seem task-based. It seems like, oh, I have to do these things, and then I'm a good Christian. That's not the point at all. It's not the point at all. Our faith has to be personal, but it can't be privatized. Has to be personal, but it can't be privatized. It can't be a private group that no one else can get into. It has to be personal, but also outward. That's why we have different ideas of gifts. That's why there's, or disciplines rather. There's the inward disciplines, that's ourselves. There's the outward with two others, and then it's corporate with others. That's why they're all important. You can't just do one of the sections. You have to do all three. Our faith needs to be an inward reality expressed to others and with others. And we need to be okay with following these disciplines. We need to be okay when sometimes we think, I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like serving. I don't feel like fasting. We think, you know what? It doesn't matter. Because if I did what I feel all the time, it'd be bad news. We have to say, I'm okay to be disciplined because I know that this is what's best for me. If you're a parent, you realize that. You tell your kids, like, this is what's best for you. And they may argue. We need to remember that ourselves. That the idea of the disciplines, the idea of prayer, of fasting, of meditation, all the different disciplines of study, simplicity, solitude, submission, of service, worship, confession, guidance, and celebration, all of these things are in place for our benefit. So in the coming months, the coming weeks, our goal is that you would listen to these different disciplines, the different specific reasons why and how to do them. And the goal of this summer would be at the end of this summer, we have all developed our disciplines a little bit more, and that we have all moved a little bit closer to Jesus. This is a guideline for us and how to grow. It's not a checklist to tick off. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much that you are a good father. And like any good parent, you put things in place that are for our benefit, that sometimes we may not understand, we may not accept, we may not want to do, but we understand that it's for our benefit that they're in place. God, I pray that this summer, as we look each week at a different discipline, that we would be open and honest about where we stand in these different areas. And that we would come on Sunday mornings actively looking about how we can grow. What are things that we can apply to our lives? That you would give us an honest look at ourselves. That we wouldn't be blind to our own areas of weakness, but we would be open to seeing the different areas that we need to grow. God, we love you so much. We thank you for the ability that we have to gather. Would you keep us safe as we go? Would you keep us cool wherever we go and give us a great week ahead? We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. Glad you joined us this morning. Hope you guys keep cool today. Enjoy the sun. Enjoy the weather. If you have kids that are on summer break, hope they enjoy it. Hope you stay sane. And make sure you sign them up for VBS for a little bit of a break. But then maybe you come and help out as well. Thank you, guys. Have a good week.